Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You got to be patient with him. I can't believe you're making such a big deal out of the fact that you're not getting audio in both of your headsets. You know how often that happens? It's called a shortage, Chris Russell. The average American deals with it pretty often.
He just cut my mic.
What are you pitching about?
We need to get to the show.
Yeah. I don't know what you're complaining about. I was communicating to our producer the issue that I'm having in my headphones. You know, they are important so that you could do the radio show the correct way. You know, especially when you play like different music themes and all that stuff instead of the same one over and 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 over again. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to you on the phones. Linnell says the Commanders are average. He makes all sorts of points as to why they're average, but the bottom line is they are average. I say that's insulting. They're not average, and yet somehow he's got more support from Commanders fans, allegedly, than I would have thought. So where are you guys on this? 301-230-0980. Let's get to Paulie to start off the 2 o'clock hour. We're only going to take one more round of phone calls on this. We're going to move on to something else. But Paulie, go right ahead.
Hell to the W, man. What's going on? Rooster.
What's up, Paulie?
You know, Paulie,
what's up, Paulie?
Linnell, the big gravy. What's up, man?
The big gravy.
Hey, look. Only thing Linnell's in charge of is his overinflated ego. You know? And he does an excellent job, man. I never see. I'll take that back, yo. I'm about to call him Linnell West. He's sure. Like Kanye, bro. He's
he
good,
said I'm like Kanye.
But he's not that damn good. He's not as good as he think he is, man. And let me say this too.
Yeah, you follow you.
I'm better than Craig Hoffman too, Craig.
Wow, man. There's a lot of Craig Hoffman assault on this show. None of it coming from me
or Linnell, for that matter.
Hey, listen, man. Rooster lost his damn mind. I said this yesterday. I said this team is last year's Dolphins team.
Thank you, Paulie. Damn. Paulie, what's up, bro? What you want to come in on Wednesdays?
This team is a soft team. This team is a soft team. Pause, Linnell. This team is a soft team. And this team is an average team. Until they beat a contending team, they're an average team. They beat a bunch of below-average teams. And like you, Linnell, I'm not bagging on them.
Exactly.
Reality is what reality is. Until they could get a W against a team that's a contending team and they've only beat below average teams, you have to say they're an average team.
Hey, Paulie.
It's not a bad thing.
Exactly.
Paulie, if you do your job 67% of the time really well.
Oh, God.
As opposed to 50% of the time, are you going to be a more valuable employee?
Depends on what my job is.
Well, I'm just asking in general.
Yeah. Depends on what your job is.
It does.
It depends on the context of my job. You know, if I go out here and I do a bunch of easy, jobs, right, and I'm successful at it, but my counterpart who works at the same job I do, he goes out here and he tackles all the hard jobs, and he's only 20 or 30% on them jobs. Who's the better employee?
Right. There's context and nuance to everything. We would all agree with that. But let me ask the two of you bozos this. Again, does the NFL judge you based on record or based on who you beat?
We're not talking about NFL. We're talking about a court of public opinion.
No, I don't care about the court of public opinion.
Let me finish. That's what this whole conversation is about. Court of public opinion. Do we think this team is average or above
average? Yeah, the court of public opinion is often stupid.
Hey, be quiet, man. Every time somebody proves you wrong, you just want to overtalk them.
My show.
Come on, man.
He's lucky I don't do that
to
him.
It's my show. My show. And it's the same dirty shirt you wear every day on your show, too. But we ain't talking about that.
Why did you try to come for a shirt,
though? What did you
come
for? The team is average. Russell sucks.
The gong, Paulie. What about the gong? Paulie, they're about to gong.
Yeah, Paulie smelled what we were cooking.
God.
Why did I start the 2 o'clock hour with him?
I don't know, but you did it to yourself.
I thought he was going to make an intelligent point. Instead, he agreed with everything you think.
You never read what I put on the call logger next to it.
No, because I'm busy.
It said he agrees with Linnell next to it.
Yeah.
He keeps taking all the callers that agree with me. Luckily, I can't see anything because they keep me out of the loop. They treat me like the ugly stepchild of the show. In reality, I'm the draw.
All right, let's. What? You're the draw? Really? You want to say that again?
Are you going to take the calls?
No, I'm just curious.
Matt, can you cut his mic so we can take the calls?
No, I'm curious. You said, in reality, I'm the draw. So that means you're bigger and better than the Junkies, me, Sheehan,
that's not at all what I,
Hoffman.
Okay. You see what they do?
Brian Mitchell.
He gets mad when his football takes aren't good.
JP Finley's ears.
Aren't as good as mine. And then he tries to corporately bash me.
Jay is in Rockville.
Let's go to calls.
He doesn't use it often, but when he uses that joint, it's so
good. Jay is in Rockville. What's up, Jay?
Oh, my God.
Jay?
Oh.
Hello. Oh, there's Jay. Sorry, Jay.
Hey,
I forgot
Jay.
To hit the button.
It's 2 o'clock.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Jay? How are you?
I just wanted to chime in really quickly, man. I think what we have right here is the classic heart and the mind right now. And, you know, what Chris is saying is, like, the team is 9-5, you know. And statistically, when you look at a record, it is above average. It's above average. When you look at average or think about average, that's like 7-7, 6-8, you know, that's average. But the Commanders, when you look at the record wise, logically, they're 9-5. That's above average. But that heart, Linnell, you're that heart. You know, when you look at the context of the season, you know, we really haven't beaten quality teams where we feel comfortable, like feelings. We don't feel comfortable enough to say that they're a good team. We lost to Dallas without Dak. We lost to Pittsburgh. We barely beat the Bears and the Saints. We lost to Baltimore. We had a great opportunity to shut our rivals up this season. All the local rival fans of like Dallas, Baltimore, we had a great chance to shut them up, and we didn't get to do that this season. And, you know, we're 9-5. I mean, I guess it feels good, but I'd like to see us go 3-0 to end the season. You know, that would make us feel good about going into the playoffs because we're not even guaranteed a spot in the playoffs right now. Seattle or LA, they could get that. The 7 or the 3, so you know we have to win out.
Let me ask you this, Jay, just to play devil's advocate here: if they lose this Sunday to Philadelphia, an elite team, and they win against Atlanta, Penix, whatever, and Dallas, and finish with 11 wins, are we still calling them average?
No,
11-6. Are we still calling them average?
I think we'd feel okay about going into the playoffs.
That's not what I asked. Are we still calling them average? Because they wouldn't have beaten a good team by your definition and by Linnell's definition, right? If they lose this week and win the final two against subpar or even or 500 teams, are they average or at 11-6 are they good?
I think it even depends how we beat those teams. Like, we're supposed to beat a rookie playing, you know, his second career start, and then we're playing a backup again in Dallas that, you know, they're trying to at least forfeit the season. So it just depends on, like, how we win these.
That's the nuance and the context that you're bringing up. But I appreciate you, Jay, but you're still not answering the question, which is, and I think it's a fair one. If again, you guys are all going to side with Linnell and say they're average – because they haven't beaten anybody. Fine. I disagree with that. Fine. But are they still average if they win two out of their final three? And it's not the If they win 2 out of 3 and one of those wins is Philadelphia, then I think that's going to erase whatever narrative Linnell is trying to create.
Trying to create. It's just
301-230.
What the reality of what the damn team is.
0980. It's not the reality. It's the reality as you see it. Jason is in Laurel next up. What up, Jason? How are you?
Hey, guys. Love the show. The great, great subject. If you took 100,000 calls on this, you'd probably get 900,000 different answers.
Yeah.
In some ways, they are below average. And in some ways, they're way above average. If you look at the roster, like 1 to 43, 44 maybe, and average at best maybe. But they're fortunate enough that they got a couple of key spots, but they probably have the best quarterback in the NFC. That's why they have the record they have. But as a team, I mean, they're probably closer to below average than above average. But we're fortunate that we got a top five quarterback in the league, and we might have the best or the second best coaching staff in the league. And that's why we have the record we have, because our roster is full of, like, role players on other teams, but somehow we've doubled our win total from last year.
Jason, good points as always, and I appreciate you, but I would say this. I would say the level of talent on this team is average. I wouldn't say the team is average. I would say the team is above average, as I've contended, because of the experience of the head coach and the aggression of the head coach. I would say the team is above average because of what you have at quarterback, what you have as a stud receiver in Terry McLaurin. The other pieces that generally combine to give you something, not enough, but something. The offensive line, when right, can be very good. Again, not enough, but can be very good.
Chris,
the defense at times can be dominant.
Can you add context to the offensive line? Because they're a group that controls the fate of this team moving forward.
Fine.
And they also have been wildly inconsistent. So
they've been wildly inconsistent the last 6 weeks, I would say.
They're a group that's helped more than any other offensive line group in the NFL. That's why I had to listen to some of these clueless people out here try and blame Jaden Daniels for all 8 of the sacks that he took.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Do you realize how often Jaden Daniels doesn't have a check down option because they're leaving guys in the chip and help?
Yeah.
So, like, cut the crap with the offensive line. That offensive line is really well coached and playing above their skis. And they're probably going to replace starters along that offensive line next year. It won't be the same 5 back. And if they did do that, they'd be bat bleep crazy.
All right, let's get to a special guest calling in on line 7. I'm told this is somebody who left work early today to make this call. Is that right?
Oh, wow.
I didn't leave work early, okay? I left work on time. But, Rooster, how can you get on
Hello,
this
Jeff.
Phone? I mean, how can you get on this radio and say the team's talent is average, but the team is not average?
Because they haven't played average. That's the point. They haven't played average. They have 3 blowout wins, and they have road wins.
Against teams that were in, they're basically in the same position that we were in last year. That's the teams that we are those are the teams we are blowing out. Now, if you would have said, you know, this is a below average mid level team, I would agree. Roos, we're an injury away from Jaden Daniels. We're an injury away from our offensive line from Jaden Daniels looking like that stretch that he had with when we played Philly the first time in the Steelers.
Yeah, but Jeff, how many teams are in that position too? How many teams are in that position too?
It's a lot. Now look, the league, even the dude from the Junkies this morning said it. We are in a league where there are a lot of bad teams, but just because we're a bad team beating bad teams, because the product against Carolina, do you honestly think we can go in with Mariota and do what we did against Carolina, against a team like the Falcons, against a team like Philly? No, it won't work. To be honest, we got a lot of backups starting now. Guys that were on other teams that were backups. Yeah, they're coming. They're playing well because they're well coached. But I still think we're average, dude. Because if we go see a team like Detroit or a team like Buffalo, we're going to get blown away.
You're not wrong on that. I'm not trying to deny that, but that doesn't mean that you're an average team. Like, so many other of those average teams that you're talking about. And I go back to Linnell putting Miami and San Francisco. You want average? That's average. Maybe even below
they're average.
Average,
just like Washington is.
They're not. But Washington's 9-5, for God's sake.
And
sakes.
They would beat us if we played one-on-one. Like they
you
would,
don't know that. And how do you, what how, do you judge you, that
how,
on?
How would you line up Miami and Washington?
What do you judge that
pick,
on?
How would you line up Miami and Washington and pick Miami and pick Washington?
Because
can we
Washington
stop, can we
has
stop Devon Achane? Can we stop
Washington
Raheem Mostert?
Has Raheem Mostert hasn't done anything this year.
What
nothing.
Running back
do you know what the do you know what the Dolphins did to us? I personally watched Tyreek burnout secondary.
It's a different team. You got more Sean Lattimore.
Now.
Now. Right now.
I don't think we above average, bro. I think we right there below. We're establishing ourselves as a team that's better than a lot of the teams that's rebuilding, yes, because we are ahead of schedule due to the elevation of Jaden's play.
Hey Jeff, you know what I think you need? I think you need a little bit more Ashburn syndrome. You know? I mean, I hear you guys talking about that a lot on the B. Mitch and J.P. Finley show. You need a little bit more Ashburn syndrome in your life. I got some. You want me to inject some in you?
Nah, man. Look, Ruth, I'm just trying to be realistic, right, man. I didn't live so long at Ashburn syndrome. To finally see a good product, I can step out of it now.
All right, fine. That's fine. Everybody's got their right. You're just as misguided as Linnell is. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. That's Jeff Walker, everybody, from the B. Mitch and Finley show on 106.7 The Fan. And you can see Jeff occasionally DJing outside of, I think it's Gate A, the Executive Club Suites entrance at Northwest Stadium. By the way, there is huge news for the Commanders, and it's good news. You want to tell the people what it is?
Yeah.
You want to tell?
Right now?
Or you want me to tell?
Right now?
Yeah.
John Allen has had his 21-day practice window open.
And the better news is I'm watching video from Nicky Javala of him lining up in individuals and pushing the cone sled. Now, he's not going to probably participate in the team portion of practice, but they've opened the window, as you mentioned. He's out there in individuals at the least. We'll see what the full of I don't even think they have to designate him because he's not on the current roster, right? He's on the IR, so we won't even per se know exactly what exactly he did, but let's just call him limited in every way. But there is a slight possibility, and I mean I would put it as ever so slight, that he could play this Sunday. Very slight. I would say there's more of a realistic possibility that he could be back in the lineup for the Atlanta and Dallas finale and for the playoffs, which this team is going to make. 301-230-0980. We will break away from this. Sorry to everybody that we didn't get to, but we got to get on to something else and talk about other things, including Kirk Cousins getting benched by the Atlanta Falcons in advance of his return to Commanders or Northwest Stadium, I should say, next Sunday night on Sunday Night Football. And this, after last week's tight win, do you feel worse about their chances to beat a so-called real team? Do you feel worse? Or is that just what you have to do and you have to win those games and they're going to happen over the course of a 17-game regular season? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 225 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app on this Wednesday afternoon, about halfway home. So you heard Jonathan Allen, 21-day practice window open. That does not mean he's on the active roster. That does not mean he's going to play against Philadelphia. And, of course, he's going to be limited in practice at first. Although we're not even going to get, I believe, based on the weird, wacky rules, we're not even going to get an official designation for him because he's not on the 53. So you could just, in your mind, just figure, hey, he's limited. Maybe he didn't even participate in team drills. I don't even know if we're going to find that. But he certainly participated in individual drills. Jeremy Chinn was out at the beginning of practice, but then went over on the side field to work with trainers, according to Nikki. And Tyler Biadasz, as expected, is at practice. He missed last week's game with an illness. So,
is there any update on Zach Ertz?
He's in concussion protocol. I didn't see any. I mean, I can't imagine he's out there.
That's the bigger one to me. Cole Turner season, baby.
I mean, I can't imagine he's out there. When you say Cole Turner season, baby,
it's a joke.
Okay. I just wanted to know.
Do you think they're going to call up Tyree Jackson over Cole Turner? That would make me upset.
No, I mean, but Tyree Jackson has played more recently in the NFL than Cole Turner has. I mean, Cole Turner's been practicing. Cole Turner is another guy. I mean, when we tease Jeff about Ashburn syndrome, oh, wow, because he looks good on a couple of cut-ups, people get, like, a little rise in their pants.
You gotta let him continue his developmental process, Chris. He's in his third year in the NFL.
I am. Congratulations. Great, NFL. Yeah.
He's got major upside. That's why this regime.
Major upside?
Why do you think they kept him around? This is now two separate regimes that see that clearly this guy's got talent worth keeping around.
Well, they see that he's got potential.
Duh. Potential is a synonym. Okay, what are you talking about?
Not that he's got like some guaranteed
talent.
Like
I'm trying to gas the guy, Chris. Damn, why do you always want to poo-poo on everybody? I'm just saying, Cole Turner has upside. That's why he's on the damn roster.
Why do I want to poo-poo everybody when?
And I guarantee you, he gets called up this week.
A 9-5 team average. Okay, all right. Okay, that's an interesting way. He should get the call up, right? He should, because Zach Ertz is probably not going to play in this game.
I'm surprised.
And
Jeremy Chinn might not play
in this game, but at least I haven't seen anything on Zach Ertz. So that must, unless I'm missing it, that must mean he's not ready to even participate in that, which you would say at this point is not a good sign for Sunday. Yes, Cole Turner might be able to help them out a little bit. Maybe he's their best pass catcher out of the three guys that they're expected to have. I don't know. But he's never done it in real live NFL games. He's never done anything. I mean, he's flashed a little bit here and there at practices, and everybody went all googly-moogly over Cole Turner. Can he block? I don't know if he can. He couldn't at Nevada. He struggled at it in his first 2 years. I know that. You know? So we'll see.
I would say this about Cole's blocking. When he was active and up, that was what he did best, was block. They were using him as rookie year. They used him as that move blocker all year long, and he was pretty darn good as a blocker.
Okay,
he competes. I like Cole Turner.
All right, that's fine. That's
Cole Turner's great. Not on the 53 because he dropped a couple of passes against New England.
That's part of it. But I'm saying the book on him when he arrived was not a good blocker. And
he's also put on a massive amount of weight.
Right. So this is why they keep him around, because he is showing signs.
Yeah.
He is showing traits. But what I'm telling you, you have this like next man up mentality that as soon as somebody gets an active opportunity, that they're going to be the same as the guy that they're replacing.
It's not about them being the same. Sometimes guys just need opportunity, Chris.
Sometimes.
Like Justin Champagne for the Washington Wizards. It's a guy that needed opportunity. Clearly.
On a 3-win team.
You're clueless. He wasn't even getting minutes. He wasn't even on the active roster. He's now averaging a damn double-double
On so a three-win team. There's context, right?
It's about a guy getting an opportunity, Chris. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with the team being a three-win team.
Gotcha.
You just want to drag on everybody because your New York Yankees missed out on Juan Soto. And now
my New York Yankees.
Yeah, industry plant. And your Giants suck. The Jets suck.
Listen to this guy.
You know he's a Mets guy, right?
He doesn't even know what he's just accusing me of.
He'd be happy for Soto.
I mean, he has no idea. All right, so let me ask you this. And I think I know the answer, but let me ask you this. After Sunday's win in New Orleans, okay, you were already down on the Commanders before that in terms of their ability to beat a quality team, and we went through this last week, and I think you're fair and right on a bunch of them. I think you're overrating some of them, but that's neither here nor there. So after last week, do you, Linnell Willingham, feel about the same as you did last week, or worse about their ability to beat a quote-unquote upper-level elite premier team?
I feel worse because the defense gave up four straight scoring possessions to Spencer Rattler in the Saints, who some of you can't even name a wide receiver on that team.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Outside of him, a lot of people wouldn't be able to name Calvin Austin.
Well, that's, yeah, it's because half their roster is on IR.
Yeah, so the point being, like, their inability to get a stop in the second half, it kind of just highlights my problem. This is with Marshawn Lattimore, right? Because that was the whole thing, right?
You are also dismissing, I guess, penalties, right, being a factor that were certainly questionable, at least in terms of Dante Fowler, not the Benjamin St. Jude.
I'm done doing this crap blaming the refs. Don't leave it up to the refs. Don't leave it up for two, three penalties to have massive impact the way that they did. You're better than them. Step on them.
Okay, fair. Nobody's saying that they played good enough.
I'm not blaming the penalties, man. I look at, they have flaws. The Saints, man, Marquez Valdes-Scantling drops a wide-open 40-yard pass over the middle of the field from Jake Haener. Sucks, by the way. Like, the fact that he should be kissing Derek Carr's ass.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he's probably in the NFL.
Yeah, Jake Haener stinks.
Like, it's bad.
You know, Spencer Rattler played better than you're giving him credit for. You're only looking at it from the Washington perspective.
Ball out of his hands very quickly and on time.
But that's fair. That's part of being a quarterback.
You're not answering the question.
You feel worse,
he's
right?
Still a backup rookie quarterback. Yes, I feel worse.
Okay.
How could you not? The defense completely fell off in the second half when a quarterback change happened.
They struggled.
They gave up a scoring drive all four possessions, Chris.
Right.
That's not good enough.
They struggled.
They gave up 19 damn points.
Yeah. They struggled.
Yeah, but was it good?
But
struggled against who, though, Chris? But, they struggled against the Saints' offense. The Saints' offense is buns, Chris.
So, let me get this right. Because they had a bad second half, and because you were already down on their ability to stop the run, you feel significantly worse or just worse?
I just feel worse. I think you're trying to get me to kill them. It is what it is.
No, I'm just curious.
I'm not going to feel significantly worse because this is about what I think they are.
Right.
They're average. They play like an average team on Sunday.
I would say on defense, yeah, there are times, for the most part, average, up and down. That's what they are. But I would also say this, that they have the ability, and yes, I understand recent sample size is against a third-string quarterback. They have the ability to be way better, and they've shown that at times. They've shown that in dominant stretches at times, including for three quarters against the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, a game is four quarters, but three quarters plus against the Philadelphia Eagles. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so some more practice updates. No Zane Gonzalez and no Greg Joseph today. Both place kickers on the active roster and on the practice squad are out for what Dan Quinn said, some, quote, personal, exciting news for their families. He also said DNP, pending kiddos, would be the designation for both place kickers. They obviously need one, and they just need like one to kick a field goal when it matters for the Commanders on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. Our pregame coverage begins at 9 a.m. right here on the T980 and extends all the way through with Doc Walker taking your calls on the way out of Northwest Stadium, win or lose after the game. Meanwhile, Jonathan Allen's 21-day practice window, again, activated and open. He did participate at least in individual drills, as we mentioned. Jeremy Chinn off to the side. Tyler Biadasz back at practice, according to Nikki Javala and other reporters on the scene in Ashburn. Meanwhile, Around the NFL, Kirk Cousins has been benched after Monday night's disappointing tight win against the Las Vegas Raiders. That means Michael Penix Jr., the number 8 overall pick, will make his NFL debut this Sunday against the Giants in Atlanta, and then, presuming that he's still healthy, will come into Northwest Stadium for Sunday night football next Sunday night against the Washington Commanders. Yes, indeed, that game has, again, been flexed. And the Capitals have now lost 2 in a row on the road. They fell apart in the third period last night, blowing a 2-0 lead in Chicago to lose to the Blackhawks. They have a couple of days off to reset and get ready for the Carolina Hurricanes on Friday night at Capital One Arena, and that's what's trending. All right, you guys know that I am not just a numbers guy, right? There's nuance and context to everything. We say this all the time, but when I ask if the Commanders, if you feel worse or I guess there's probably no way you could make an argument that you feel better. But if you feel worse or about the same about the Commanders' chances to beat a legitimate playoff team opponent this Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles riding a 10-game streak or in the playoffs or what have you, most people are going to say, no, I feel worse. Linnell says, feel worse. Of course she feels worse, right? But here's the thing, and you point out the defense falling apart in the second half, and there's no doubt they struggled, right? But if you look at the big picture, right, and again, statistics only tell you part of the story. If you look at the big picture, I didn't realize this, and so I'm not telling you this like because I knew it. They're, in terms of yards per game, which is like what the NFL uses, okay? And I understand, again, there's DVOA and all that crap. In terms of yards per game, they're allowing 321.8 yards per game. The NFL average, say your favorite word, is 336.3. They're below the league average by 15 yards, okay? The yards per play allowed, okay, is 5.47. The league average is 5.42, so they're slightly above. Rushing yards per game, which has been a thing for you all year and correctly, is higher. They are 13 yards per game above the league average, which is 119.1. The Commanders at 132.1. Passing yards per game. This is where they kind of make up for some of how poor they've been rushing, and which makes them basically an average or maybe a slightly above average defense. Passing yards per game without Marshawn Lattimore until this week is 189.6, whereas the league average is 217.2. That's almost a 28-yard difference. I can go on and on and on. I really think it comes down to some slight improvements down to down, series to series, half to half, which is every team, and on top of that, getting more takeaways.
The defense lacks talent.
I didn't say that. Straight up, right? I didn't say that they didn't.
And the reason to me statistically that they're statistically ranked better than what they actually are. They are the beneficiary of playing one of the weaker quarterback schedules in the entire National Football League.
Sometimes that works out in your favor.
And it has for them statistically. But
next year, that won't be the case.
You cannot ignore what you see and act as if it's no big deal because they won the game.
I didn't say it wasn't no big deal.
They let Spencer Rattler come into the football game and walk it up and down the football field.
I understand. There's concerns. They let Cooper Rush throw for 270 yards.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't trust them defensively.
I didn't say you should. I'm just pointing out, bit of just balance.
And after Sunday, I feel worse about who they are as a defense.
I feel about the same as I did before Sunday, because while everyone else was chomping on wings and having a good old time and thinking that this was going to be a blowout, I correctly predicted all week, all day, on your show, on this show, what have you, that the Commanders were going to struggle. I just felt that they were going to struggle. I don't feel any different.
As did I, Chris. So don't try and paint yourself as the only person. You joined me on the pregame show. I told you what I said. I thought it would be closer, or not as close as what it was even. I think I predicted like 26-19 or 26-20.
Okay, fine.
a one possession game, which it should have been, but Dan Quinn decided to kick a 54-yard field goal like a moron.
Here's what while you continue to be more worried about the run defense and the defense in general, I'm scared to death of the special teams. They do not have a reliable kicking situation at all in any way. You can Zane Gonzalez me. You can Austin Seibert me. You can Greg Joseph me.
It's a matter
you can
of
go
health,
and
though.
Pull somebody off the cherry tree. They do not have a kicker that I trust, period. That is the number one problem at this point. They do not have a place kicker that I trust to make a big kick in a big spot.
Well, they only need their kicker for the second half when the offense stalls out. So that's not...
That's not true. I mean, if the offense
a joke.
Oh, okay, but if the offense is converting touchdowns in the first half, you still need a kicker to kick an extra point, unless Dan's going to go for it on two.
I do feel pretty good about the offense because I saw them be able to. Now, granted, it's against the Saints, who have the most time to throw against any quarterback in the NFL. Like they,
which is crazy considering that they have some really good pass rushers.
Yeah, but. You know, I thought the drop back passing game was really good. I thought Jaden, he's just a badass, man. He played like Superman Sunday and was the reason they won that football game because he made some just Houdini-like plays that, you know, only a few guys in this league can make. So,
he did, but he was not perfect.
He's never going to be perfect.
I just want to point out that, like, you know, like people say, well, he got sacked 8 times. The offensive line was terrible. Jaden can, you know, whatever. It's a combination, one.
It's a combination of three things. Line, receivers, and him.
Yeah, two of those 8 sacks were basically scrambles, eluding pressure, trying to make something out of nothing, and 0 or 1 yard losses. One was a 0, one was a 1. The first sack, ironically, the first sack of the day, Chase Young's first sack of the game.
Yeah.
I had a pretty big problem with. Jaden missed about 4 wide open guys on that. One to the right, right flat, right swing. One to the left, left flat, left swing. Zach Ertz across the middle. And Terry McLaurin, I think, was screaming across the middle as well. That was the one that stood out to probably the worst.
This is the one thing that you've subliminally done with him all year long. And I think Grant does it sometimes as well. Like, I'm not going to sit here and overanalyze the way that he played. How can you sit there and say that he was far from perfect? There were 6 incompletions on the day, Chris. At the end of the day, like 6 incompletions and 6 incompletions, he was, and 3 of them were flat out just like drops or bad throws where he routinely makes those throws. Like, I thought he played really, really well Sunday, and I feel like you're a little misguided in what.
I think he played good.
I thought he was pretty. He made some special throws, though.
He made
man.
Some special throws. He also missed on a couple.
As does every
missed on a couple of big ones that could have made a huge difference. Now,
correct.
Also, the Deami Brown throw, which was really special in my eyes, was called back because of an Allegretti penalty.
Exactly. I thought he played really well.
But let's
big time throws.
All right, let's also be honest, right? On the first drive of the game, I went back and I watched this again closely last night. People forget about this. Not only did they get a little bit of a fortunate break on the field goal being taken off the board for what Jay Gruden says was not actually a penalty, number one. Number two, he fumbles the ball at the 1 yard line and they recover. But if that
ball
bounced,
that a fumble for real?
Yeah, it was a legitimate fumble.
It was a fumble, but like
it was ruled a fumble.
He's just got to be more aware.
Okay,
there.
but
he fell on top of guys and like he probably thought he was down.
All right,
because he didn't realize he was laying on a body and they knocked the ball out.
But my point is, I'm not trying to crush him. I'm just trying to point out that there were things that bothered me that.
Man, I guess my evaluation. If you're grading him out of 100%, I'm giving him no less than a 93. Like he played really well on Sunday. He was the singular reason they were in that game.
So you're giving him a 93 out of 100
for Sunday's performance? I give him probably about a 90 to 93.
All right, that's interesting. See, I wouldn't go that high. I would say about an 85.
Well. He played really
maybe
well,
85
man.
To 88, somewhere in that range. A little bit lower than you. I wouldn't say much lower than you.
Yeah, he made some like eye popping throws. When his
both touchdowns were great.
When he uses his lower body rather than throw the football, sometimes he doesn't use his base properly because he's a rookie and his mechanics are going to continue to improve. when he uses that lower body, he's got a hose.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he's got, which is interesting because remember
the knock against him was he didn't have the superhuman fastball.
Remember what I said? I was like, he's like real nonchalant throwing the ball. Like it looked.
I mean, at times I still think
he's got a hose.
But at times I still see the nonchalance. It almost looks easy.
It's all tied to his mechanics, though, man. He's got an easy release, which is going to make everything look nonchalant. But, like, dude, no matter what the hell happens, they could lose out. And I would still feel great about the offseason because you really got a bona fide top five, top 10 guy in this league. He's going to be damn good.
All right, there's two questions I want to ask you on the other side. We'll tee it up that way about Jaden Daniels, who, by the way, again, is celebrating his birthday today. So, for a little fun, over the last hour-ish of the show, you can tweet at WrestleMania621, at Nell_BTP, the radio station at Team980, Matt at Mr_Me93, or you can call in as part of your call, or on the voicemail option on the Odyssey app, which you can leave a voicemail, and if it doesn't suck, we will use it on the air. See how this works? If it doesn't suck, we will use it on the air. On the Odyssey app, go to the Team 980 on the Odyssey app, and you can leave us a voicemail. If you don't want to wait on hold, or if you don't want to be bypassed, or if you didn't get in on the original topic, do that. It's nice and easy. 301-230-0980, though, is the number if you want to hop aboard on this particular thing. If you could get Jaden Daniels a birthday present, what would it be? What would you give him? What is the ultimate cool cat birthday gift for the ultimate cool cat in town? So that's something that we can have a little bit of fun with on over the next hour and 10 minutes or so. The radio program on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, closing up hour number two of a scheduled three, and thank goodness. It's only that. Just talked to Tyler during the break. I cannot hear myself out of my headsets at all, so I hope I'm making sense.
Oh my gosh, he keeps crying out loud about his damn headset.
I'm just telling you, I could not hear myself at all, so I hope I'm making some sense. Here's the question that I wanted to ask you while you're trying to do your best to complain about me. The Commanders, like, the defense is getting a lot of criticism, right? Yep. And rightfully so. They were not good enough in the second half. But if you look at the Commanders' offense in the second half, right? They had the field goal at the start of the fourth quarter that they very well could have missed. And they had a field goal in the third quarter that counted.
The field goal that they could have missed.
Right. They did because the clock expired. Remember, Greg Joseph missed it, if you were paying attention. Greg Joseph missed the field goal.
But the clock was expired.
I know. I understand that, but he got to re-kick it again. So, again.
He should have never been allowed to kick the first one.
It doesn't matter. But the point being is, he missed it. Okay, and then he got to re-kick it, and it was good. So, again, you could argue whether there should have been 3 points there or not, but ultimately it was. They only scored 6 points in the second half.
Chris,
so if
reality,
we're going
like,
to sit here and say, hey, the defense was terrible in the second half, and that's why you feel worse, it's not exactly like we could throw bouquets of roses,
Chris,
all
offense,
afternoon about the Commanders' offense.
The offense had a damn near 7-minute drive to start the second half.
It doesn't
half
matter. You got to score.
That stalled at the 1-yard line,
yeah.
Chris. Okay.
Right, but they scored a chip shot field
close.
Goal on that.
They're really, really close.
Well, the defense is close,
no,
too.
No, they're not. They
yes,
gave
they
up
are.
Points on every damn possession, Chris.
They committed penalties, and they dropped an interception.
They are actively regressing on that side of the football.
Oh,
what are you
Jesus.
Talking about? They came in and let Spencer Rattler walk the football up and down
okay.
the field.
Okay.
And you're trying to ring the alarm about
are the
offense?
Are they the only defense that allows a backup quarterback to get a little hot streak when you're playing a little soft?
You're trying to ring the alarm about the offense.
I'm asking a question. You're sitting here throwing bouquets of roses at Jaden Daniels. 95 this, he's the only reason that, what have you. He played great, what have you.
I thought he played really
the
damn good.
The second half was not a good offense, was not a good half in any way, shape, or form for the Washington Commanders. They scored 6 points total against a team missing some of its best defensive players, or at least one great defensive player.
Now I got to listen to him. You know, Chris,
I hear what you're saying.
I'm just simply pointing it out.
I agree. Ultimately, I just don't like the way you're phrasing it so negatively. Because I'm the same guy that said they haven't played a full 60-minute game in a little while. They haven't played a full 60-minute game since the New York Giants.
So it's okay for you to phrase it negatively, saying the defense was terrible, the defense was awful, the defense was sucked.
When you use the context of them going up against a rookie backup, the defense was not good in the second half.
Okay, and my point is...
They were terrible.
The Commanders' offense, now granted, without Austin Ekeler, without Noah Brown, and they lost...
Who did their job better, the Commanders' defense in the second half or the Commanders' offense? I would say the offense. The defense's job is to not allow points. They allow points on every single damn drive.
How many times are you going to say that?
It happened.
I understand that.
It shouldn't.
I understand that.
Spencer Rattler.
The Commanders' offense, granted, was compromised to some degree. Again, losing Zach Ertz. When did Zach Ertz go out? End of the first half, was it? Or early third quarter? I can't remember.
Went out in the third quarter on that drive.
All right. So, I believe. After the spectacular one-handed catch at the 1 yard line or the 1.5 yard line, that's where he went out.
That was in the first half, though.
Okay. All right. So, again, granted, there's reasons, right? No Ekeler, no Noah Brown, no Tyler Biadasz. You lose Zach Ertz halfway through the game or slightly less than halfway through the game. There's all sorts of reasons that maybe you could argue and say, well, the Commanders' defense didn't necessarily have the same.
They simply did not do their job defensively.
I agree, they did not do a good enough job.
But you
feel it's solely on them is why the New Orleans Saints had a chance to win that game.
Yeah.
Okay.
The defense. Right,
well,
came
we were
out
we were
up.
Watching a different second half.
I get it. The offense had their struggles too, but they still scored. They put up points still.
Oh, they scored defensively. 6 points.
Three points each quarter. They added to the lead that they had. The defense completely unraveled, Chris. It's not like they were spectacular in the first half. You were going up against Jake Haener, dog.
I know.
And he's still.
I would be more worried about them if they gave up 10 or 13 points to Jake Haener. Even though Alvin Kamara was in the game at that point and played midway through the third quarter. Now, again, I'm not telling you I'm happy with the defense. I'm just simply pointing out that I think both sides, both units, and certainly the special teams, that's a whole nother beast. I think both units kind of, for lack of a better term, melded in a little bit in the second half. Did not look crisp. Did not look sharp. Did not look effective. Did not look scared. As a matter of fact, Jay Gruden, just for whatever it's worth, said on this show on Monday, he thought the Commanders were in complete cruise control until that final series of the game. And really, that final sequence. That's his perspective. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app. A final hour to come right here on the Team 980 and that Odyssey app.